to dispel all the garbage that our heads are filled with every single day. And I love those records, especially immediately following his ascension and the outpouring of Holy Spirit, and just the change in the dynamics of people's lives, the church, healings, doing all the works that Jesus Christ did and more. So, I know it all ties into this day and how important it is, but I just wanted to share that, it's so far-reaching that it's almost incomprehensible, what he really accomplished for us. So, we should always take that to heart, always keep in mind that, every time we speak in tongues, that was something that Jesus Christ ultimately made available to us. Every time we're able to minister healing to someone, or every time God speaks to us specifically about an issue, he goes above and beyond his word. That's because of Jesus Christ. So, it again, I you guys are probably going, yeah, we know all this, but it is it's just incredibly humbling. And that's what I said to Nell. I said, that's why he's the man. That's why he's my Lord Jesus Christ. That's why he's the savior of the world, because he was the only one that could have done that. Had it been left up to me, all of y'all would be in really bad trouble. That's all I wanted to share.
That's great. Thanks, Greg. Yes, it is humbling to remember the things that we have because of what he did. So it's amazing. Absolutely. And God continues to open the eyes of our understanding to each of those things as we walk with God and trust him and look to him. So that's wonderful. Great. Who else got something?
Well, Donnie, I would like to do a follow-up from last week. I'm sorry, but I left something very important out. And the reason why I want to bring it up is because the whole gist of the whole story is God's timing is perfect. I didn't know my boss's husband worked at Hannity Station. Through that month, I found that out. And the timing was perfect because when the woman called Hannity up, I forgot to tell you that she said, "Sean, the president of Eckerd's is in Stone Mountain today." And when he got wind of the woman who called, he wanted to make sure you knew that all of those suckers were taken off every drugstore. So that's how perfect God's timing is. And that's just a mind blower. So thank you.
Right. Yeah. God has a way to do things pretty easily, huh? That's great. Awesome. What else? Anybody else?
Charlie.
Yeah, I got something here.
All right, Andrew, go ahead.
Andrew, hi.
Hi. How's it going, Patty? Oh yeah, and just to tell you, the date went wonderful last night. So, yes. Yep. Yeah. But anyways, probably, I don't know, since it's Resurrection Sunday, and since it's kind of the trend of Jesus Christ and what he did for us, I want to share with you guys the greatest kind of healing I've actually witnessed is with my brother. And it was a very specific thing inside his when he was going through cancer, stage four Hodgkin lymphoma. He was in the hospital and they said he got his first treatment for cancer radiation, and they said he had cold sores, like the when you get a canker sore in your mouth. But they were all the way from his lips, all the way down his esophagus to his stomach. They were everywhere, and there was these little bitty cold sores, and they said there must have been probably hundreds of them, and they just popped up out of nowhere. So my he called my mom crying and talking to her, and she said to him, "The adversary is not messing around. You don't need to mess around either." So he went and prayed, forgot about it. He said he went and talked to several people, you know, kind of talking to them, blessing their lives. And then he starts speaking in tongues and getting centered. And overnight, every one of those cold sores disappeared. I say that because that's the only time I actually was able to see something and then not see it. And that was the only time that I've kind of witnessed somebody really just minister to themselves and believe for themselves. So in my opinion, that's the greatest thing I've ever witnessed, per se. I've actually been able to see with my eyes. That was because, like, you know, the lady who me and Stephen, you know, ministered healing to her arm. It's like, yeah, I can see it, but I couldn't actually see them. But I saw them, and then, like, you saw them, and then you didn't. It was just absolutely amazing. And, you know, Greg was talking about, you know, all the things Jesus Christ did for us. My grandma once told me she did this thing. She had all these books, and she had them pull them off the shelves and everything. And this is like when we were 6 or 7, pull them off the shelves. And then we went into another room, and this whole room was full of books. And she took us to, John? And I don't know, it was at the end of John. I don't know exactly how it goes. I should have looked that up, but the end of it goes, if we were to record all the records done by Jesus Christ, that the whole world wouldn't be able to contain these books. And this was a big room, right? And this is a big room and a lot of books. So as we go on this day, it's, you know, we're supposed to do this anytime we eat of this. We can do this anytime we drink of the cup or eat of this bread, but just we really need to just remember him and reverence everything that he's done for us. Everything. And through his obedience, we're able to be here and stand in this world in his stead. And it's just a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful time to be alive. It really is. With all the crap going on, all the politics, you know, all my brother's in the hospital, my sister's in the hospital. Oh, you know, I got to go to work. It's all that is nothing. We're here right now. And we're able to represent Christ. It's amazing. What a beautiful time to be alive. Every second, every day, we need to remember him and think on him and what he's done for us. And then going to work and dealing with this person or, you know, paying this bill won't be so bad. But anyways, love you guys.
Andrew, thank you.
We love you too. Sorry, I missed your call last night. I was sound asleep.
I was going to give you all the details of the date, but...
Oh, I can't wait to hear. Gosh.
Yeah.
I was praying for that one. I'm looking forward to hearing about that.
Yeah. Must have gone well. You really got a great smile on your face today.
It went very well. Yeah. Not like that. Don't get very much.
Oh, no, no,
no. It's not.
I know the real reason behind that smile is exactly what you said, because you're remembering everything that you have because of what Jesus Christ did for you.
Exactly.
I know. I know.
We're going to say you're pulling a Burl Ives.
Who?
All the time. You are, for just when you say funny things. Oh. Northeasternisms, I call them too.
That is wonderful. Great stuff. That's wonderful.
Okay.
Who else? Kathy?
Yeah. Okay. Andrew, we know that you won't kiss and tell. And I like Burl Ives. I think he's got a lot of character. What I wanted to share was most of you know my mom, and she had a health challenge here basically since the first of the year, and her body was retaining fluid. And I just wanted to tell you that as of yesterday, she lost the 20 pounds of fluid. And so she's very happy about that. And she's really back to normal. And there for a while, she wasn't herself. She was a little overcome. And we actually went out to eat yesterday for the first time in a couple of months. And she wanted me to thank you guys for praying for her. And she loves you very much. And that's it.
Thanks. That's good news. That's good news. Praise God. That's wonderful. You tell her we love her. We all love her. All right. Anybody else have anything?
Oh, I was wondering, I saw it said Anthony and Ashley. Who?
It's Anthony.
Okay. Hi, yeah. Anthony. Hi, Vanessa. Justin's here too. I'm always so happy when my children are on here. Vanessa just said to me last night, Vanessa and George came over for supper, and that was wonderful. And Donnie and I had been out all day long hiking around in the mountains again. And so then we had supper, and I just kind of passed out early. But she said, if I get on there, Mom, don't make me say anything. So we just see your cute little picture up there.
Wow, way to call me out, Mom.
I just didn't say
that.
Yeah.
That was just, a little aside. Truly, it makes me so happy when you're on here with us. Yeah. It means everything to me.
All right. Yes, it does. Well, anybody else have anything? If not, we'll move into some things, okay?
I wanted to say that I'm glad you're doing communion today. Communion means a lot to me. Every time I've been communion, I've always received great healing. And I just wanted to tell people that it doesn't matter how good you are, or how, if you think you're worthy for God's healing, God's made you worthy. And God's already healed you. So just accept it in your life and realize that God is going to always bless your life more than above all that you could ask or think. So I just wanted to say that.
Thanks, Tim. Yeah.
Yeah, that is
so true.
Probably one of the greatest things that I can think of too, for just the joy of who we are. It isn't about us. It's not about the flesh. It's not about how good or bad we are or were. It is about who we are in Christ, and that we believe we accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior. That's so huge.
Yes. Okay. Well, yeah. Remembering what Jesus Christ did for us and what we have because of it starts with that, with his broken body and shed blood. It starts with that. That's where it starts. And because it's so important to recognize that, what he did was partly to fulfill the requirements for the new covenant that God would make with his people, right? And remembering that the bread and the wine, his body and his blood, representing his sacrifice to establish that new covenant. That's the starting point, because once the covenant is established, then we have everything that is involved in that covenant, everything that God has pledged himself to provide for us. All we do is receive it. All we do is agree to it. And then he provides every detail of that covenant. He provides our forgiveness. He provides our wholeness to begin with. And that's where the start is. It starts with the forgiveness of sins past, the remission of all sins. And then because of that, because we are no longer tied to our sin, we no longer have to suffer the consequences of sin, which part of which is sickness, right? That's part of the consequence. Sickness and then ultimately death. Those are the consequences of sin. We all have them. We all suffered those things before Christ did what he did for us. And when he instituted that new covenant, we begin now to receive all the fulfillment of God's pledge to us, right? That's why it says that God would have all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. First thing that he mentions in that thing with Timothy is, for there's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus. He's the one who mediated this new covenant. And this is the greatest thing that God desires for us to begin to know and understand, right? Not just to come to a knowledge of the truth, but the beginning place of that truth. There's a new covenant now that God has made between anyone and everyone who decides to accept its provisions and be blessed. It's a new covenant, not the old covenant that God made with Abraham, not the one that he made with Moses and Israel, not the one he made with David, but the one that he has made with us by way of Jesus Christ, his son. And that's what we remember when we eat the bread, eat any bread, and drink any wine. We remember it as oft as you do this, as oft as you drink of it, right? You know, religion has taken that and said, well, it's confined to this sacrament that happens in a building, or, you know, where you have to come and then the priest has to issue it out and dole it all out to everyone, you know, in the place of Christ. You know, this is not what Jesus Christ had in mind. He didn't have in mind another ritual for people to take part in. They had plenty of rituals back then, plenty of religious activity to perform. And yet none of that accomplished anything. And so when he sat with his disciples that night and said, look, remember me, remember what I'm going to do for you. This is where it starts. My broken body, my shed blood. I'm going to give my life for you. And it's going to be the requirement for this new covenant. It's going to fulfill it. And then after that, you're going to know all the truth. It's going to be revealed to you everything that I have done for you. Right? The Spirit will be available to you just as it has been to me. And it will reveal all things to you, all the truth to you about what I've accomplished. Those things that Greg was so wonderfully kind of given a summary of, right? All the things that we have now because of that starting place that he decided to be obedient. He decided to be that Passover lamb, right? And that provision for a new covenant. It's an amazing thing. And so when we do remember these things by making them real, by eating some bread and having a drink of wine, it comes to our minds. This is where my relationship with God as my father began. This is where it started to move. Not because of me, not because of you, but because of what he did. what he was willing to do. And he was willing to do it because he saw, because God showed him, what joy he would have seeing the result of what he would do. The joy that was set before him. Wow. You mean there's going to be more of us, Father? You mean I'm going to have brothers and sisters that have a relationship with you just like I do? Oh, what joy. And we get to experience it. We get to do it. We get to enjoy it for all eternity. What great joy he must have had in his heart knowing that, focused on that. That is what we joy in also. Because this is just the beginning. You know, our relationship here with one another, as sweet as it is, our relationship with our Father, as living and real and vital as it is to each of us, is just the beginning. It's just the start. Because at that point, when he returns and gathers us all together and we're changed, right? Yay. That's when, boy, that's when the real fun begins, right? Not that we're not having fun now. We're having fun. So if you have some bread, if you have some wine there at home,
right now?
Yes, let's do that right now. Why not? Let's make it real. And that's what that, you know, these tangible things, bread and wine, you know, they, you know, and it's great because it really is an everyday thing. I mean, some cultures drink wine every day. They did in those days. In that culture, in Christ's culture, they had wine all the time.
Safer than the water.
Yeah, it was safer than the water, right? That's right. That's right. You know. So, you know, had it been, I guess, had he lived and had Israel lived in Mexico, maybe it would have been, you know, cerveza and bread. Cerveza and tortillas. Maybe not. I don't know. But for us, for him, it was that bread and wine. And so we're going to do that because it is, like I said, that's the starting point. The broken body and the shed blood. What did he do? He gave his life so that it was the payment for our sin. Now we can be given all the greatness of God's heart that he wants to give to us. So we'll just take a minute and if you have some and you'd like to do it, go ahead and grab some. All right. Patty's getting ours, so. And as we just sit, you know, we sit and we think. Yes, that's fine. Yes, you can bring it. Just bring it all over. Yeah.
I said you want to do this first.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Just pull it apart in there.
We're going to pass some bread around. You don't have to take a whole piece, just... You know, it's whatever you'd like.
Cut to take a whole piece.
Okay. All right. Yeah, we're just passing that bread around. We have. All right. So everyone have something. You know, we have some bread. You know, whatever kind of bread, it doesn't matter. It's not anything special. You know, even though at the time that Jesus Christ sat at dinner with his disciples that night, it was not unleavened bread because it wasn't a Passover meal. It was just a meal like any other meal. And so, you know, that's why he instituted it when he did, because it's just a meal like any other meal. And so he knew that if they would remember by way of this bread and wine, every time they sat together, every time they sat at a meal together, it would identify, they would bring back to their mind and heart what Jesus Christ did for them those days. So when he took it, he took and he blessed the bread and he said, you take, you eat it, you know, and every time, because every time you remember my body that is broken for you, you know, every time. So let's do that right now. So eat it, take it and eat it. Remembering. And then he took, you know, the cup that he had. And he said, you know, this is the New Testament in my blood. This is the new covenant. This is what's going to establish a new covenant between the Father and you, me, my blood, my life, that would be the only thing that would be able to solve the problem of sin. You know, the spotless lamb, you know, the lamb, the perfect lamb, the lamb without any kind of imperfection. And that was certainly our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He had no imperfection before the Father. He was perfectly in harmony and in fellowship with his Father every step of his life, every moment of his life. Even in the face of great challenge, he never, ever doubted his Father and his Father's wisdom and his Father's way through the challenges, and just like we can do. So we remember what he did when he gave his life, you know, for our forgiveness, our forgiveness, our redemption, you know, and remission of sins. So drink. Father, we thank you for all that you have done, even though we have so little understanding of some of it. And there's so much yet that we have to learn, so much yet that we have to see that will be revealed to us when you send your Son to gather us all back. But until that point, Father, we're thankful that we can remember what he started for each of us, the life that he gave so that we could live free from sin, that we could live free from its consequences, and that by his stripes we are healed of all those things that our flesh seems to carry with it so many days of our lives. Thank you, Father, that we can be healed and we are healed, that there is nothing that is beyond the scope of the stripes that he took for our healing. And that now, as we remember that, as we remember that our sins are forgiven, our sins have been removed from us as far as the east is from the west, and that you don't remember them, we don't have to remember them either. And Father, thank you for the results of that being our fellowship with you, and the great wholeness that we can walk in each and every day. So right now, Father, we focus on those things that we need you to do for each of us. We focus on those, each one of us in our lives, no matter what it is, no matter if it's a pain, you know, in our hands or our fingers, or if it's something internally that is not right in our bodies, whether it be, you know, on the surface or on the inside, from the top of our heads to the bottom of our feet, every inch of our body, we can expect to be made whole right now in the name of Jesus Christ. That because of what he accomplished for us, we no longer have to accept these things. No matter what it is, if it's a virus, if it's a spirit, it is gone in the name of Jesus Christ. If it's arthritis, it's gone. If it's achy muscles, it's gone. It's healed. If it's, no matter what it is, Father, there's nothing that is impossible. There is nothing that is not covered by your great acceptance of your Son's sacrifice for each of us. So thank you for these things. Thank you that as we remember them, we see them manifest in our lives. Because it is by his stripes that we were healed. It is by his blood that we have been forgiven. So we no longer are in bondage to our imperfections. We're no longer in bondage to our sin and shortcomings. that we are alive in Christ and whole in every way. Thank you for these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
All right. All right. You know, we think of that being the starting point of everything that we have. That's the starting point. And when God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, that was the fulfillment point. That was when it all became ours. When God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, it says, you know, that he raised us up also. And that's our identity with him, right? It says, you know, I want to go, we're going to definitely read some of the scripture today for sure. Because there are so many things in here that you cannot really have a full appreciation of until we read them. You know, we can know that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. You can tell someone that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. You can prove it by way of speaking and ministering healing or casting out a devil spirit or speaking in tongues and interpreting in a believer's meeting. That's proof that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. That's proof to all of us. You know, our testimonies of deliverance that we have, they're proof that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Whenever we have received healing in the name of Jesus Christ, that's proof. And when we speak of it, when we tell others of it, like Andrew's testimony today, you know, I saw these cold sores on my brother one day and the next day they were gone. I saw that. That's proof that Jesus Christ is alive and not dead and buried somewhere. That's proof that God raised him from the dead. But when we read, like in the Gospels, or we read in the church epistles, the results of that resurrection, that's when it begins to fill out, you know, the detail and give us such great cause for joy and rejoicing. Because when we realize that it's not just an event that happened, it's an event that eternally affects every believer. Its effect is going to be felt throughout eternity. Each of us will know it and will experience it throughout eternity. The results of God raising Jesus Christ from the dead. It's the focal point of our faith, right? It's the focal point. It's what we begin with. Romans 10, 9 and 10, right? What does it say? It says that if, you know, my desire in Romans 10, Paul was pouring out his heart about his love for Israel, his countrymen, saying, oh, my heart's desire is that they would just be saved. I want them to be saved. I'll do anything to get them salvation. And he did. He even, you know, turned away from God's guidance because of his desire to save Israel, as if he could do it all by himself. Mm-hmm. You know, typical guy. I'm going to save them. I don't care if they throw me in jail or not, right? Well, his heart and his desire is that they might be saved, right? It says in Romans. And then he comes to that place where he shows you this is how to do it. That if thou shalt confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you're saved. You're made whole. You shalt be. You'll absolutely be made whole if you but do those two simple things. Right? The resurrection is really the focal point of our faith. It's everything that our faith is based on. It's not based on some you know, wonderful teachings that he did on the plain or on the mountain. Right? It's based on God raising him from the dead. It's not based on him coming into Israel on a donkey. You know, when people spread their clothes in the way and he entered in as a triumphant king. Oh, all hallelujah, our king. He's our king. A couple of days later, crucify the bastard. And that's what they thought of it. Bastard is a real word. It's a legitimate word. They thought he was. They thought he was an illegitimate child. This is what we believe. We believe that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. We're not among the crowd that said, crucify him. We're among those that say, he's alive. God raised him. It's the focal point. It says in John, look at John chapter 12. John 12. We'll look at John 12. Great verse here in John 12. Says, this is during a time, you know, he was doing towards the end. It's after one of his entries into Jerusalem, right? And he says to them, he says to his father, he cries out to God, now is my soul troubled in verse 27. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But it's for this hour that I came into it. It's for this that I came to this hour, right? This is my purpose. This is why I'm called. Father, he says in verse 28, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Mm-hmm. I've glorified my name. Every time our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, came upon a sick person and healed them, came upon one possessed with devils and cast those devil spirits out. Every time he called to a dead one and said, get up, the name of the Father was glorified. And the Father says to him at this moment, I'm going to glorify it again. I am going to glorify the name of the Almighty one more time. I'll do it again. And the people therefore said, oh, what's that, thunder? Those must have been the people that had no ears to hear. And others said, an angel just spoke to him. Jesus said, this voice came not because of me, but because of your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. Now the adversary will meet his maker. Right? And he says, verse 32, and this is really the important verse here to me, to my mind and heart. It says, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. I will draw all men unto me. What is he speaking of? Well, it's speaking, it says, this he said, signifying what death he should die, or by what manner of death. What was the reason for his death that he would die? The reason for his death would be the payment for our sin and the defeat of the adversary when God raised him from the dead. The manner of his death would not be the same as the manner of everyone else's. The manner of his death would be a 3 days and three nights in the grave and God raising him after that. And this would accomplish all that God had designed from the first initial fall of man and the promise of redemption. If I be lifted up, if I be glorified, right? If I be lifted up, raised to the summit, I'll draw all men to me. The only thing that raises Christ to the summit of all men, to the peak, to the pinnacle, is God raising him from the dead. When God raised him from the dead, it marked him out to be the Son of the Most High God. It marked him out to be the Redeemer. It marked him out to be the Savior. It marked him out to be the only one that should be confessed by each and every mouth as Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one. He'll draw all men, every person, not just those of Israel, but every person. There were still plenty of people that didn't believe. Even after his resurrection, even after he showed himself, they still didn't believe. And yet we who haven't seen believe. We were drawn to him because our heart had a desire to know the truth. Our hearts have a desire to walk with God, to know who the Creator is. And it's by way of Jesus Christ that we can. We can be brought into the presence of the Almighty to enjoy his fellowship. It's because we have been drawn unto Jesus Christ. Because we have heard and we have believed. It's what we have at that moment that we believe. You know, it's that belief in the resurrection, that if we know that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, then we are compelled to confess him as Lord. He must be Lord if God raised him from the dead. He must become our Lord now. And we have confessed him as that. And at that moment that we confess him as our Lord. At that moment that we believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we have all those things that God has made available. All those things that give us great cause to joy and rejoice, having been drawn unto him. Right? In 2 Corinthians 5. Is this great verse? Verse 21, for he hath made him sin. God made Christ that offering for sin. Who knew no sin? He had no need to offer anything for sin because he didn't have any. He didn't have to make any sin offerings for himself. But he became the offering of sin for each of us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. We might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. That's what we have at that moment, right? For with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation, and with the heart, man believes unto righteousness. Man believes unto righteousness. He doesn't work for it. He can't earn it. He must simply believe unto it. Right? And that's what we have in Christ. That's what we have at the moment that we believe that God raised him from the dead. We have our righteousness. We've been made the righteousness of God in Christ. In Galatians chapter 2. Galatians 2. Galatians chapter 2, why are we made the righteousness of God? You'd have to ask, why would God do that? Of course, we know it's by his grace. He decides to favor us and say, okay, I'm going to make you righteous. You believe in that offering for sin that was done on your behalf? That sacrifice to establish this covenant? If you believe that, then I'm going to make you righteous. But it's see, in God's heart, it says, what does it say here in verse 20 of Galatians 2? I am crucified with Christ. I'm crucified with him. Nevertheless, I live. Why? Because he lives, right? He lives. I'm crucified with him. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. The accomplishment of Jesus Christ, our Lord, everything that he earned lives in you. It lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, not by my own work. I live by the faith of the Son of God. This is why I can live the way I live. This is why you can live the way you live, as sons, as daughters, as righteous ones, because of what he had accomplished. And your faith in it, not only your faith in him, but the faith that was dwelling in him. The faith, his faith, accomplished for us what our faith only just kind of brings us into. The faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And every time we read that verse, we can use those same pronouns. We don't say, well, Paul was crucified with Christ. No, we read that verse, we say, I am crucified with Christ. Already paid the penalty. Already paid the penalty. No one of us could ever have expected God to do what he did. Because none of us would ever be worthy of that. But he accomplished it all for us. He did it for us. You know, Ephesians brings us the next step, right? It explains. Galatians says, well, yeah, I'm crucified with Christ. But I live. But Ephesians brings us one step further. Ephesians brings us into the heavenlies, right? Ephesians chapter 2. It says in verse 1, you, who were dead in trespasses and sins. This is the reality of man and the condition of man ever since the garden, ever since Adam and Eve disobeyed and were cast out of the garden. The condition of all man was dead in sin, dead in trespasses and sins. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, prince of the power of the air. You were just doing what everybody else does out there, you know, stumbling over your own feet. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. In verse 5, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. He's made us alive together with Christ. When Christ was crucified, we were crucified. When he was buried, we were buried. And when God raised him from the dead and brought him out from the tomb, we were also raised from the dead. This is in the mind and heart of God. This is why he could make us righteous. This is why he could say, you're made the righteousness of God in him. In him, you have it. Not in your own flesh, but in him. This is why you can enjoy it now. This is why we can all benefit greatly, because we are righteous. We are. We don't have to be waiting for our righteousness. We are already made righteous because we have been crucified with Christ. We've paid the penalty. We've suffered. You know, we were charged with our crimes. We were convicted and we were charged. Death to them. It's the only rational way to pay the price. But Christ did it for us. That's nice. Quickened us together. He made us alive and he raised us up together and made us sit in heavenly places in Christ. That's where we are now. In God's heart and mind, yes, we're here in this room and on this Zoom platform, wherever you're sitting, wherever you are. But your real place is seated in the heavenlies. Then it's all by grace. Verse 8 says, it's by grace that you're saved through faith and not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. You know, this is what we have. This is what we have. You know, there's an interesting verse in John. We're going to go to it. I think it's in John. John 5. 5:25. Great verse. It's we'll read verse 24. It says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you," Jesus Christ again speaking, "he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." He's passed from death unto life. There's so many things within the scripture that interlock and interlace, and you know, where one thing seems to be, one event seems to be isolated and just simply an incredible event. It turns out to just be connected, interconnected with something else that God had in his plan. It, you know, like the Passover, like when the initial Passover occurred and Israel is brought out of bondage because they do one thing. They sacrifice a lamb and they put the blood on the doorposts. And that angel of death passes over that household and spares them the death of the firstborn child in that household. They, in essence, now are brought out of bondage into freedom now. They're free. Christ, our Passover, it says, is crucified for us. He's given for us. He's sacrificed for us. Why? So that death can pass over us. And we can go from death unto life. We can now be rejoicing in the life that we have, both now and in eternity. He continues, he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they shall live." Even the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God. Who were we before we heard the voice of the Son of God? It said, Ephesians, we were dead. We were dead. But the resurrection speaks loud. It speaks loud enough so even the dead can hear it. Even the dead can hear that. Who we were. And they that hear shall what? Shall live. They'll live. We live. We live by the faith of the Son of God, because God raised him from the dead. And we said, I believe that. I believe that. And so now I am no longer a dead man walking, but I am a son of the Most High God, alive unto God and unto his Christ. So praise God. You know, he is risen. He is. He's no longer a dead man, and no longer are we. So praise God for that, right? So, Father, thanks for your love. Thank you for your great grace that has brought us to this place where we have passed from death into life because we have heard the voice of your Son, Jesus Christ. We have heard of his resurrection and we have believed it. And we have all that comes to those who believe by your grace. Father, thank you that you have looked past our works and you no longer count them. But you count our heart and what we believe of what you have said. And Father, we're grateful for it and we will forever be grateful. We praise you now. We will praise you in eternity. And we will certainly praise your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, because he truly is our Lord, the man among men who has brought us to this place where we can enjoy our fellowship with you as children seated on your right hand. So thank you for these things in that wonderful and precious name of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Would someone manifest, please, speak in tongues or prophesy.
And know, my people, that I, your Father, I am your God, and I have given my Son, my only Son, for you, and I raised him from the dead. You need no longer fear, but trust in me, for I have promised it, and I have given it. Walk forth with great joy, knowing this.
Dear beautiful people, I so love you and I cherish our relationship. I enjoy that we walk and talk together. Your sweet voice in the morning blesses me, and your tender prayers at night bring me joy. I am your God and Father, and it was an easy decision to paint the sky, and it was very simple for me to hang the stars in space, for I am your God. So therefore, this day, open your eyes and know that I will withhold nothing good from thee, that I will make thee great and beautiful in my sight, because I love you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My beautiful children, keep your lives very simple. Just walk in great love. Walk in my light and in my wisdom and my heart. Know that this life is victorious for you already. So just walk into it in all the steps that you take and all the things that you do. Just breathe in and breathe out my love and my joy and my light and my life. For you are examples of me, my children. You are beautiful. You shine as the stars of the universe. You are like that painted sky. You are beautiful as you glorify me by simply living your lives and giving glory and honor unto me by believing me. Just simply believe me, my children. For truly, I have made you great in me and through my Son and through his accomplished works.
Someone pray, please.
Father, thank you so much for everything that you have done for us, for this whole creation and the culmination of the things that you put into place when Jesus Christ not only died for us, but that you raised him from the dead. And what that means to us. Thank you so much for just expounding that to us, having given us your word that we can know its truth, and that you know, it lays out the rules for life. It lays out the rules for the previous covenant and the covenant now. It lays out the rules for all eternity. So thank you so much for that. Thank you so much for just your making us righteous, your, you know, healing us through his stripes, and for just blessing our lives at each and every turn as we walk and talk with you, that we can just live our lives by believing that your mercy and your grace are endless towards us as we walk, and that you just continue to lead us and guide us and bring us down those paths of righteousness. So thank you so much for all of this and for the eternal life that we have to just keep in our mind and look forward to with great anticipation and expectation. Thank you so much for this all. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen. 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 Awesome. Great. All right. Well, Carrie said, timing during your prayer, all the church bells started ringing.
Is that Carrie or is that Kurt?
Is that Kurt? Oh, that's Kurt. Wow. How about that? That was pretty good.
That was earlier.
That was earlier? Okay. Awesome.
Wow.
That's great.
That must have been something.
That's great. Well, don't forget to look at that chat that Michael sent. That's his where his book and the other things, his podcast is going to be happening from, the website, themysticalvoyage.com. And, enlightenment-radio.com. Okay. Is it a dash, Michael, or is it a underscore? Dash. It's a dash. Okay. All right. Well, you'll find it, I'm sure. But yeah, check those things out. He really has done a great, great piece of work there. So it's great. All right. So great fellowship, you guys. Great time to be alive. Great time to rejoice in what we have in Christ, huh? Yep. So got to keep those things in mind, right? Keep those things in mind because they are reality. No matter what the world tries to do to say otherwise, you know, this is the reality. God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. It proves everything.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, Michael said something else up there.
Oh, what?
Right here.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Right. That's his, the two addresses you can go to. They all both go to the same place. Okay. So make sure you write that down if you want to check that out. Wait a minute. I got to get it back up there.
Are you going to write it down? We can get it to you later.
Okay. It's just enlightenment-radio.com. Themysticalvoyage.com.
Yeah. It's the same website.
Yeah. Same website. It just points to the same website. Either one of those. So that's great. Yeah, Michael's got a great way. He just basically recast the same truths that we all know and have been taught but in some different language. And he just turned a page in the flip book. So, but it really is. I mean, you know, meaning mystical, meaning the mystery. Right. And so it's a great, great piece of work. And I know he's devoted a lot of time and energy in it. And that's because of his love for God and the truth. So thanks for doing that, Michael. And
yeah, it's written from a child of the 60s.
Yes, that's right. And when you read through these things and look at his website, just remember that Michael wears rose colored glasses sometimes, right?
Right. And I contemplate and meditate in Golden Gate Park sometimes. By astral traveling.
Yes, right, right. That's right. Yeah.
He's just kidding. For those of you who don't really know Michael, Michael is quite an amazing spiritual man.
Yes, indeed.
I kind of thought you, I thought you might come today, Michael.
Yeah, what happened?
I just have a little bit of a issue with my leg, and so I'm letting it rest.
Okay. Well, we'll just expect it to be, by his stripes, taken care of.
It will be, yes.
Amen. All right.
And yeah. Also keep Brian and Debbie Davis and their son, Brandon, in your prayers. They're home with COVID. And I think so many of us have experienced the healing and getting through all of that stuff. And so now it's not quite as daunting as maybe it was on the other side of it a year ago. But right. Just keep those guys in your prayers. Debbie texted me and asked that we do that. And also continued prayers for Andrew's family and for his brother who's still in the hospital. And Andrew, are you still on there?
Yeah, he's still on.
And I think his sister Regina as well is still in the hospital.
Yeah, right. Yeah, she's going to get out either today or tomorrow. Okay. Regina is, yeah.
And your mom is home.
Mom's home, yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yep, just made her some waffles this morning, so.
Aww.
All right.
That's great.
Waffles?
Waffles, yeah.
So do you have, like, instead of bread and wine, did you have waffles and wine?
I have that every morning, man.
Breakfast of champions. We're
remembering,
there.
Remembering in our own way.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's good. Well, we do have a lot to be thankful for.
We do. This was great.
Great fellowship, so, you guys. Yeah. So,
happy to have people in our home.
Yeah. Look at this. We almost have a full house.
Yeah. And we're so happy to be here.
Yeah. Yes, we are.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is cool. So,
yeah, I got to admit, I should get a job as a dolly grip.
He loves playing with his toy.
I do.
Which Anne well, so see, wonderfully made
Anne's,
for
it's
him.
It's Anne's fault because she made it for me.
It's such a great job. It works
she made
so
it
well.
For me.
Yeah. It's great.
Yep. Ta-da.
We're here.
We can even go fast. Yeah. Okay, well, now we're really easily amused, aren't we?
We are, because everything's so fun.
I know.
We're blessed and lighthearted.
That's right, you know? I mean, hey, we got it. We got it. Mate, I mean, we just we've been so blessed, you know.
Did Vanessa go? I can't. Why don't you put it back where we can see?
Oh, yeah, everybody. Okay. Let me see. I'll put it back on the gallery view. We can
there's
see
everybody. Okay.
Then. Hey, Holly.
Holly's on. I didn't even know Holly was there.
I didn't
Hi,
even
Holly.
See you
Holly.
Join us. And look, Greg and Natalie are on the road.
They're driving. And they got the cat.
Look, you guys have got to see.
What?
Oh, Mau Mau.
They got a cat?
Yeah, yeah, a big one.
The cat was in the wedding.
Yeah.
Oh, it was?
Yeah.
Yes. Oh. Yes.
Hello, Holly.
Hey, Natalie.
Yeah, oh. Stick your face in there again, Natalie.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey. How's Nat today?
Natalie.
Doing good. There's the kitty cat.
There's the
kitty.
You going up? Where are you going, Greg? You going up to see your folks?
Yes, we are. We're going up there to hunt Easter eggs. Because, you know, you got to do that on Easter.
Of course.
Yeah. It's good. It's adult Easter egg hunting. We're going to drink a lot of beer and hunt eggs.
So that
sounds fun.
Lots of children will be there. Grandkids and all
they're
that.
They're all grown. Honey.
Oh, they're all grown and you're still going to do the eggs?
It just
yeah, they're going to be full of shot.
Yeah.
What?
The eggs probably have shots in them.
Yeah. Oh. Oh, okay. Got it. Got it.
Oh, like they're like shot up with vodka or something.
Takes me.
Yeah, this is adult egg hunting, baby.
Yeah. That's nuts. Okay.
Well, I saw Carrie for a second, too. Hi, Carrie.
I think she just... She's still there. Yeah, Carrie, where'd you go?
I'm here. Yeah. Hey. I'm with my daughter and grandson, and I'll put you over here. He's getting his diaper changed. Let's see if I can zoom in on his swimming. She's telling me how to do this.
Hi.
Oh, that's Kaylee.
Yeah.
Kaylee.
Yeah. And nice here is Neil.
Aww.
He's adorable.
These guys.
Okay. Oh, yeah. We're hogging it.
He's 3.5 months old.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
And he's usually a pretty smiley guy. Yes,
so
he is.
His first Resurrection Sunday.
Yay.
He's smiling at Gammy. Right. So, got to get that diaper off so he doesn't mess up his Easter outfit.
Yeah. then he'll really start smiling once you get that thing off, right?
I finally can hear y'all on off the, yeah. Had the volume off. Anyway, yeah. So, and then yeah. So now I've got to go. I'm heading up actually to Lake Lanier to do some sailing lessons.
Oh,
so,
fun.
Yeah.
Are you taking them or are you giving them?
No, I'm not giving them yet. I'd need a few more courses. I'm just doing this for all kinds of reasons, but personal growth and being out on the water and healing. Yeah. And, you know, just get those certificates. I've never got any certificates, so sailed, but no official certifications, and I want to do that.
Good. So. That's great.
Yeah.
That's great.
We'll be your first participants on board.
There you go. Okay. Right. Sounds good. Yeah. And one of these days when I, you know, I'll stop by y'all's house. My son and daughter-in-law are still in here and they're still very isolation conscious with COVID and everything. So I'm trying to keep my, going around down. So...
anytime you're always welcome, you know.
Thank you. Yeah, it's getting closer. Good. That was a great lesson today. Loved it, and I really am thankful that you did communion. So
great.
That's so I do that at home quite a bit. It's been a while though, so I need to I was doing it quite a bit, so good. It's good. Awesome. Thanks.
It's great. Yes. Carrie,
bless you.
Bless y'all.
Awesome.
Love you all.
Love you. Well.